Okay, so we are going to get started. We've got 2 days left in this program, and we want to make sure. So one of the things, one of the concepts that I teach, for example, with my boot camp clients.
Kelly?
Yes.
I think we were all muted and we missed a few of your sentences.
Okay. You want me to start over?
Just in case you gave anything, I think we may have missed one point that you just made.
Okay. Okay, so we are on the 8-day program and we have just 2 days left, so this is really exciting. I know you have received so much great information, but we really want to make sure that the direction that you're receiving is lasting, and I truly hope that you can see the difference in what you're learning in this program versus what you've heard before this. This is really completely different. One of the things that I teach my boot camp clients is about detoxification. In fact, I did a nutrition seminar last night, and it's about detoxifying from things like processed foods, sugar, genetically modified foods, alcohol, caffeine, and so on. And of course, this is not something that we do necessarily in a moment, although it can be, but what I want you to compare this to is detoxifying your brain. We are living right now in one of the greatest times in the world to be alive, but there is so much information. In fact, we receive more information in 1 month than people do who lived in the 1800s in their entire lifetime. If you think about the speed that we receive information in, it's almost mind-boggling. And distraction, you have to think of that as being the enemy. I mean, I want to point out that some of the people that you might be receiving information from, these so-called experts, that becomes the author of confusion for you. So what I really want you to focus on is that Phil is putting great information in, but you have to make room for it. If your mind is cluttered, it's very difficult for you to stay focused, to stay clear, and to move ahead. So I want you to really think about detoxifying your brain. Even though bad thoughts might feel good in the moment, they're toxifying to your thinking. But then you know what? The reverse happens. Think about when you get a client who really cleans their system of alcohol, caffeine, sugar, processed foods at least 80% of the time. Nobody's perfect all the time. But then when they do have that glass of wine or they do have that donut or whatever it might be, they pretty much feel horrible. Well, you will get to the point where you recognize the difference between the information that Phil is sharing and some of the others that when you see it, you're instantly just going to go delete, delete, delete because you know that it's nonsense. You know that it's junk. You know that there is nothing behind that that's worth giving your attention to. And what we're trying to do here is we want to create a new breed of training success gurus. These are different from the people who are out there self-appointing themselves as gurus. I know a lot of them, and I have to be honest and tell you that they are hiding behind their websites, and a lot of them are not nearly successful as they want to lead you to believe that they are. So what I've learned to do, and it's helped my career tremendously, is to go delete, 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 and just focus on what I know works. I don't have time to make a lot of mistakes, nor do I care to. I'm going to make enough as it is. But if I've got a red carpet laid out in front of me, if I have a clear path that I know works, it just makes sense to follow that path. I don't want to be confused. I don't want to be misdirected, and I don't want to be limited. And I've known Phil for over 8 years now, and not one time has he ever misdirected me. And I don't know anyone that he's ever misdirected. I've met a lot of people at Phil's seminars and events that he's held, and it's actually the opposite. They rave about the things that Phil has told him. So I really want you to detoxify your brain right now. Whatever's in there that's confusing to you, I want you to just release it and let it go. And just know that the material that Phil is sharing is healthy, it's empowering, and that he's planting these seeds for growth for you. And these seeds are going to reap outcomes for the months and years ahead for you to come. So look at this new information carefully. and be careful about anything else that might be coming into your view. I want you to start with a clean slate. So that's where we're going to pick up today. Phil should be on the call. He's going to come in.
I would ask you to have a pen, as I did last time. This will become a detox tool. You will not insert it in any orifice in your body, I assure you. But you'll be able to use it to write and to take notes and so on. Hey, Kel, I'm going to try. There's noise in the background, and I'm going to try to mute everybody, and then I'll ask you to unmute, okay?
Okay.
So I'm going to try to do this now.
Okay, I think I'm here.
Okay. I have quite a bit to share today. First, I want to talk about marketing. Then I want to discuss the possibility of owning your own facility for those who are not presently owners. I know some of you are, and some of you don't care to be, but it's an important topic. And finally, I'm going to give you a few new directives, which you're used to now, and these will kick momentum up yet another notch and help you get a greater sense of how over the past week your potential has heightened. So let me get right to the topic of marketing. Marketing at its foundational level has nothing to do with the Internet. I know some of you go, oh, but we love the Internet. You could love the Internet. But when we talk about marketing, we look at really what it is. It can exist without the Internet. In fact, it existed without the Internet. And even today, in the 21st century, it could still exist for you without the Internet. Doesn't mean the Internet is bad. But understand that at its foundation, marketing has nothing to do with the World Wide Web. Despite what many people will tell you, to be highly successful as a personal trainer, you don't need a website. Oh, but we love websites. You could love websites. You could have websites. I'm just telling you, it is not a need if you want to be successful as a trainer. Marketing, at its foundational level, has nothing to do with advertising. It has nothing to do with speaking appearances or flyers or what you say on your business cards. So before I explain what it has to do with, let's understand what marketing is. Marketing is anything that puts your name, your voice, your image, your likeness, your promise, your message, and or a representation of your abilities in front of any human being. Now, I know that covers a lot of ground. It covers many options, and it might already sound as if I'm contradicting myself, but I assure you, I am not. A website, advertising, and business cards are all vehicles for marketing. I'll say optional vehicles for marketing. But it is possible to advertise in the magazines with the greatest reach, to speak in front of audiences every week, to make up four-color glossy brochures designed by the area's best graphic artist, and to Twitter and tweet all of your Facebook and MySpace friends 9 hours a day. It is possible to do all of that and fail to build the business you hope to build. Conversely, it is possible, as I hope you now know, to speak to 5 people a day and grow a business that reaches hundreds of clients or more. So I gave you examples of marketing vehicles, but please don't think of vehicles as needs. That is a trap that is very easy to fall into. For the moment, I want you to forget about any marketing you've ever done. And I want you to open up to a new way of thinking. Open up to a revised perspective. There are 2 foundational keys to effective marketing. The first is the delivery of the right message to the right audience in a compelling way that speaks to both rational thought and impulse. I'm going to say that again. The first of the 2 foundational keys to effective marketing is the delivery of the right message to the right audience in a compelling way that speaks to both rational thought and impulse. Now, can that be done in an ad? That can be done in an ad, but it isn't easy. And it typically, if you're going to try to do this in an advertisement, it will probably require a great deal of testing. You won't get it right the first time. And a great deal of cost. It is less expensive and far more immediate to attempt to hone your message, to get it right, and to zero in on the right audience by trying it with 5 people a day. So that's the first key, delivering the right message to the right audience in the right way. The second key is affiliation. Who or what do you affiliate with? People will consider retaining you, not necessarily because of what you say, but because of what they believe you can do for them. And because they feel that committing, I'll say committing to themselves, because it's got to be a commitment to themselves. So I'll say because they feel that committing to themselves along with a commitment to your personal training service is the right decision. That's why they'll do it. Not because of what you say, not because of how you look, because they feel like it's the right thing to do. So people do things in the moment because they feel that the decisions that they are making are right. Now think about this. Have you ever done something really stupid? I have. Many. And I know I'm limited in time on this call, or I would tell you about some of them. I've done many stupid things, and I did them all for the same reason. Because in the moment, it felt right. I could look back in hindsight and go, what was wrong with me? What was I thinking? Why did I ask her to go out with me? Because in the moment, for some odd reason, it felt right. So we've all done stupid things, and we didn't know they were stupid when we did them. We make decisions emotionally, and we make our decisions based on what in the moment feels right, regardless of the list we make of pros and cons, regardless of what rational thought says. When we ultimately make the decision, we make it for one reason. It feels right in that moment. Did you ever buy something that you couldn't really afford? Worse yet, something you didn't need at all? Why did you buy it? One reason. Because in the moment, it felt right. I had my friend Adriana on my radio show yesterday, and we were talking about some of the home shopping networks, and she mentioned that she was very tempted to buy a colorful scarf that you could also like use as a table decoration. And I said, isn't that bizarre how they are so good at speaking to impulse and emotion? You didn't turn on the television going, man, I really need a scarf that I could lay on my table. But they're so good at communicating to you in a way that is compelling that you really in the moment think that you need that. You've heard that it's hard to change a first impression, right? Everybody's heard that. Well, it is hard to change a first impression. And more often than not, if the first impression is a bad one, you never even get a chance to get a second impression. You never get a chance to present the virtues and attributes that the perceiver might have missed. If somebody perceives you as bad, they may not give you an opportunity to present a second impression. So for now, I want you to forget about the vehicles, the business cards, the website, all of that. Forget about the vehicles you use to market. And let's think about your message and your affiliation. You want to refine your message until you find that it hits your audience right between the eyes and gets their full attention. And there's a question that I asked you to consider and to answer, and at first it's a hard question. But you've got to get this answer, and it's a unique answer for you. What makes you the best option? Why should it feel right to somebody in a moment to choose you? Now, if you haven't been able to answer it yet, it's okay. Just know that you will get better at answering the question as long as you continue to think and to practice. And that practice, by the way, as you're trying to hone your message, that practice will bring you lots and lots of new business along the way. I mean, you're testing your message with at least 5 people a day. So, as I mentioned, that's 1,200 people a year. That's a lot of people who are going to hear your message and give you some verbal or nonverbal feedback. Answering the question, what makes you the best option, addresses the first of the 2 foundational elements of marketing. The second, the affiliation part of marketing, is something that you may do right now passively. You might not have thought about this before. But you should know that it provides those impulses that sway people either toward you or away from you. The affiliation part of marketing helps people form first impressions. And the affiliations that you keep and maintain, again, whether they're intentional or not, those affiliations help people subconsciously decide whether a commitment to your services feels right. Now, affiliation is not something I'm going to spend a whole lot of time on right now, but it's worth talking about because it's one of those areas we tend to neglect, and it's very, very important. Unless we understand the mistakes we're making, we tend to allow our affiliations to happen by accident, and we fail to take responsibility for the consequence. I'm mentioning it today because it's important. In fact, it is a primary topic as I progress with people through my Be Better program. But today, I just want you to recognize that the people that you hang out with, the people that you're seen with, the clients that you choose to train, the employees that you have, or the employer that you have, or the bumper stickers, or t-shirts, or the jewelry that you wear on your body or on your face in some cases, it will all play into the power or the absence of power that you would like to harness in order to continually attract new clients. Imagine there's a known methamphetamine user in your neighborhood. I'll give him a name. We'll call him Gabe, okay? Gabe the druggie. One day, you see Gabe in a diner having lunch with a guy named Mike. The next day, your daughter brings Mike to your house and says, "Hey, here's my new boyfriend." What is your initial reaction? Now, you know nothing about Mike other than you saw him with Gabe, the drug user. But what is your initial reaction? Suppose I told you one of my closest friends is O.J. Simpson. Now, if you didn't know anything else about me, what would you think of me? Just from that statement. And would that be different than the reaction if the same thing happened 20 years ago when O.J. Simpson was a star running back? Suppose the first time you met me, I had a long beard, a ponytail, and a Hell's Angels jacket. Would you form an opinion of me? Might you have formed an opinion of someone who 1 year ago was wearing an Obama for President shirt? And might that same person, even if they were the exact same person with the same feelings and the same thoughts, might that same person have been perceived differently if his shirt had a picture of Hillary with the words, "Our next president"? Or how about if the t-shirt said, "Win the war on terror"? Might that evoke a different emotion and cause people to make an instant judgment about the person wearing the shirt? Think about someone you know that others may have a wrong impression of because of his or her affiliation. Think of someone that you hold an opinion about, even though you don't really know that person. Why did you form that opinion? In all likelihood, because of their affiliation. So here's the point I'd like to make. Who we affiliate with has more of, I'll say, an organically driven marketing power than the marketing message we put out intentionally. If there's a cluster of trainers who hang around the club that you work in and they spend their days commiserating and complaining and you hang out with them, guess what people think of you? So start to be deliberate in your affiliations. And if you went through the directives yesterday, this is where the focus group that I've directed you to create is invaluable. You can guess what people think of you. You can guess from now until the year 2014, and you still won't know what they're actually receiving. Is the message that you intend to send out in your marketing actually being heard the way you intend to say it? You don't know. Is it believed? Or is there an accidental message that you're sending out that may even contradict your intention? These are questions that you cannot answer without help. You can think, you can even feel almost certain of what people think of you, but you do not know until you ask the people. The focus group gives you definitive answers. You can juggle your own opinions, but when you gather honest feedback from those people who view you from the outside, you are face-to-face with reality, and that gives you power. So I hope that you're getting the sense that I personally feel the focus group exercise to be vitally important. I'll tell you that I have personally conducted well over 100 focus groups, probably more than 200, and every single one, and I can probably remember everyone, every single one provided me with insights and reality checks, perspectives that I wouldn't have uncovered if I was only relying upon the view from this side of my eyes and ears. Not only will the experience allow you to access the thoughts of the receivers of your marketing, but it will also help you to zero in on three primary pieces of data that allow you to position yourself for growth. The first is, what is your key selling point? I know I used a bad word. We hate the word sales, and I just said selling. But if you want to compel and influence people to recognize your value, You want to know what traits, what elements, what expressions and actions drive people to the point of intrigue that forces them to have interest, that forces them to take a step toward you. And you may think you know what your key selling point should be, but until you get some real feedback from people who've received your message, you're not going to know. And I promise you this, do this focus group and you will find something that shocks you about what people think of you. The other two pieces of data that you'll come out of a well-organized and managed focus group are, firstly, the answer to the question, why are you the best option? They'll give you some clarity in that regard. And secondly, the answer to a question that will dictate what the future holds, and that question is, how will you grow? So here's a great opportunity you have to get these answers from other people who have witnessed what you put out, what your message is, what your affiliation is. You want to find out what they heard and what they saw. Now, if you think forward about growth, because I said the question is, how will you grow? When they give you that feedback, it's going to help you make some determinations. And you're going to think toward your future, and you're going to have a greater sense of what your message needs to be or how your affiliations need to be refined. As you think toward the future, for some of you, that vision involves a facility. Some of you own a studio now. Others are on their way toward owning a studio. Whether you own one or not, you can determine whether ownership of a facility is in your future. In other words, if you don't own one, but there's this little bit of a wish, let's see what we can do with that wish. And if you do own one, you're going, why did I ever do this? I'll tell you why, because in the moment it felt right, but maybe now it doesn't feel right. You're not married to that studio. So wherever you are, you now have an opportunity to make a choice. For those of you who have any immediate want of having a true sense of ownership, I'm going to introduce you to my friend Bob Piani in just about a minute. Bob has listened to me for years. He's not only listened to me on the phone and when we've sat together at dinners and when we've had sushi together, but he's also attended many of my seminars. And together, almost by accidents of fate, Bob and I created a method of owning a studio for, you know, I want to say for pennies. And it, then I stop myself. I go, that's so cliche, you know. But I almost mean it. I really mean it when I say, if you want to own a studio, there's an option that exists that didn't exist before Bob and I had some pizza at Ray's Pizza in New York. So, Bob, are you here? If you are, star 6 to unmute.
Can you hear me?
I hear you. Hello, Bob.
All right. I'm here. How you doing, Phil?
Good. Okay, listen. No sales pitch. Okay, you know that, right? Just briefly, I want to have an honest discussion of what the perfect storm is, which that's the name that we've given to this piece of equipment. I want to talk about why it exists. And for those who want to follow up, I don't want to spend too much time on it because there may be some people on the call that have no interest, but I want to talk about it appropriately. And for those who want to follow up, I'd like to invite them to email you directly. Is that good?
That's perfect. That's right.
Okay. So first, I want to share some elements that anyone beginning a business venture should know. And if you started your business without this knowledge, consider this moment a new start. Any business, and I mean any business, this doesn't only apply to fitness business, any business that survives and prospers goes through at least two of three phases. Now, some will go through three. But every business that survives and prospers goes through at least two. And the better businesses with the greater longevity will go through all three. The three phases are chaos, organization, and excellence. And I also call excellence interdependence. We could use those terms interchangeably for the third phase. Chaos, organization, and excellence, or interdependence. Chaos, you guys all know it because you've all started businesses. It is the wild, thrilling, frenzied period when you start something new. And in the chaos phase, you had a plan, right? You really kind of thought things out, maybe even wrote a business plan. So you had some kind of plan, whether it was in your head or on paper or a combination. But you neglected to tell the rest of the world that they're supposed to follow the plan. So some things go right and some things go wrong, and there's a genuine thrill in knowing that you can put out every fire, because fires keep showing up, and you can put them out, and you can turn every mistake into a short-term victory. That's the chaos phase. And chaos is healthy. It is necessary, and it has to be temporary. If you stay in chaos, you move past the place where it feels good and fun and exciting, and you hit burnout, and the business cannibalizes itself and you. So you want that chaos phase, but you want to know it's not here forever. You have to progress from chaos into organization. And the first important step in moving out of chaos is knowing what the organization phase will look and feel like. In the chaos phase, it will look nothing like you anticipated. And you have to know that. Things will happen that you didn't expect. But as you move toward organization, you're getting a greater sense of what really is, not just what you're expecting, but what really is. So you've got to know in advance what the chaos phase will turn into, and that's when it becomes organization. You've got to get a sense of what it's going to look and feel like. You have to know in the chaos phase that you're in chaos, and you have to progress toward a place where you can rely on certain elements. As an example, maybe at the beginning you're doing everything yourself, and you've got more clients than you expected or more prospects than you expected. And in the organization phase, maybe you find someone who answers your phones. Or maybe you get a scheduling software system that begins to make sense for you. In the organization phase, you develop an operational structure. And if it involves employees, you come to know what to expect of them. The organization phase is a breath of relief. In chaos, you're winded. You're constantly running. And when you get to organization, you go, oh, this feels good. It's where you can create, I'll say, modest to healthy profitability. It's hard to do that in the chaos stage. You're doing well. You're having fun. But when you get to organization, you should be able to sit back in a chair, take a look at some numbers, and go, you know what? I made a little bit of money. And although in the organization phase, initially, you will be married to many elements of your work, you will also find it, for the first time, possible to create some separation. Now, keep in mind, it is possible to have a clear distinction between who you are and what you do, right, between yourself and your business, but still be in a condition where your business is reliant upon you. When you enter the organization phase, there will be considerable reliance. Your business will need your time. And again, that is a healthy and a necessary step in growth. For some of you, you may say, you know what, I'm just an independent trainer, and I'm going to say take away the just. Be proud of that statement. I am an independent trainer. And you may feel like I'm in the chaos stage because I'm still trying to get clients and I don't have my footing, and for some people I'm driving all the way across town. That's okay. This applies to you. You still want to get to the organization phase, and maybe you want to stop there. For others, you're going to go, okay, now I'm in the organization phase, but I want to continue to grow. And if you want to continue to grow and you want to take on an entirely new business venture, expect chaos all over again and know that it is a healthy part of progression. For a true entrepreneur, somebody who is just by nature entrepreneurial, the organization phase, after it allows you to center and breathe, will bore you half to death. Okay, so for some of you, you're going to go, this is good. Now I know my schedule. I work these 4 days a week. I'm organized. I'm happy. This is where I want to be. For others, you're going to go, now I'm organized, I'm working 4 days a week, I have complete control over my calendar, and I miss those fires that I had to put out. You begin to crave the energy of the chaos phase. And if you know that about yourself, you have two options. One, without messing up the organization you've created, don't make the mistake of just forgetting about the organization. You still want to keep it organized. But without messing it up, you can inject some new chaos by adding a profit center. In other words, you could go, now my personal training business is going well, and I like it, but I'm kind of bored by it. So now I'm going to create a boot camp. Now I'm going to start to sell some products. Now I'm going to work on manufacturing that bar I always wanted to put out. Now I'm going to start to write and sell my own book. But you've got to do it in a way that you maintain the organization. The second option is you progress. You don't stay in the organization phase. You progress to that third phase, excellence or interdependence. In an interdependence phase, your allies, your employees, your customers, and your clients are all connected in helping to feed the growth of the business. There is a new type of reliance. The tasks are no longer reliant on you. Because in an excellence phase, you free yourself from anything that bogs you down. But instead, people rely on you and vice versa. You create win-win relationships where the outcomes are greater than the sum of what both of you could have done independently. And I meet a lot of new trainers who meet me for the first time or second time, and they go, Phil, I want to be like you. I want to be independent. And I go, you have no idea. I am so dependent on so many people. I could never have achieved hardly any of the things that I achieved were it not for other people that I relied on. So interdependence becomes very exciting. And is it risky? Sure, you've got to trust some people, and some of those people will disappoint you. But that's something that the entrepreneur deals with. So recognize there are three distinctive phases. You can stop at two. You can't stop at one or you're going to fail. You can stop at two or you can progress to three. And they are chaos, organization, and then excellence or interdependence. Now, if you own a studio now and you're going, I'm so stressed. There's so much stuff going on. It's so chaotic. It would have been nice if somebody told you this before you opened the studio. You got to find your way out of chaos. If you own a studio and you're bored and you're going, I miss the passion, then it's time to carefully inject something new. If you don't yet own a studio and you've ever thought about owning a studio and you've scared yourself away because you felt ill-equipped to go into business, I want you to realize you're already in business. Even if you're an employee of a health club, at some level, you are responsible for your own marketing, your own client programming, your own client retention, and the long-term impact you have upon the clients that you work with. So I'm not suggesting you should open your own facility, but I am suggesting that you don't want to create an illusion that suggests that you're much safer if you never go into business. You can lose a job. The company you work for can be sold. The company you work for can be bankrupted or destroyed. And although at times a paycheck feels safe, you are really powerless as an employee to ensure a future. I also think there's a misconception among trainers. They think that the big clubs make big money and the little studios aren't worth the effort. Like they go, man, if I had enough money to really open a big club, then I would. But it's not worth it to open a little studio. I want to tell you something you might find interesting. For 7 years, I've been the owner of a 25,000 square foot facility with 3,500 members and a staff of near 70 employees. And in the first 4 years of that period, I also had an administrative office under a separate roof, 45 miles away, with an 800 square foot studio. So I got a 25,000 square foot club and an 800 square foot studio. The 800 square foot studio netted 80% of monthly revenues. That means we would keep 80 cents on every dollar we brought in. The 25,000 square foot studio netted 10% on a good month. Interesting, right? The smaller studio kept 80% of what it brought in. The big club that everybody would think makes a lot of money netted 10%, and that would be on a good month. Amazingly, while the big club yielded more than 12 times the gross of the little studio on given months would not only net a greater percentage, but at times more dollars. There were months I made more money out of 800 square feet than 25,000 square feet. My committed costs for the 800 square foot facility, which I nicknamed the Profit Monster, my costs were about $2,500 a month, including rent. By running a single program out of that studio, one program that I would run twice per month, I could generate, just from this one program alone, $9,600. I want you to understand that. One program that I could run twice a month would bring in $9,600. My costs were $2,500. There was never, ever, ever a risk of not meeting expenses. Never. Why didn't I keep that Profit Monster going? Because a hurricane blew it away. Literally, a hurricane destroyed it. Otherwise, it would be there forever. There are two mistakes that drive personal trainers who opt to open their own place to go belly up. Two mistakes that I see all the time. One is a failure to recognize the phases as I outline them and a relentless plan to progress. Okay, those go hand in hand. You got to know the phases and you need a plan that you're going to get out of chaos. The second is believing that being in the studio means you're at work. I see that all the time. You know, somebody has this dream of opening a studio. They open a studio and now they have a place they can go to. And they think that because they're in the place, they're at work. And then what happens is when you do that, you start to take things on. So they take on task after task, and before you know it, they're too busy with things that really don't matter. They take on task after task without connecting to the idea of marketing to 5 people a day, without connecting to the need to compel and thrill more people every day. So they get locked inside their own 4 walls, and that's where they stay until the business dies. I wrote an article recently talking about my experience when I first started researching opening my own place. Now, this was 20 years ago, and I, after meeting with consultants, found out at that time, 20 years ago, that if I wanted to own my own studio, I would have to borrow $45,000. Had about $400 in the bank. Now, in line with that, conventional personal training studios today, 20 years later, can run upwards of $135,000. And I know some of you have done that. And in taking on that kind of financial obligation, all I'm going to tell you is you better be an entrepreneur and you better be willing to trade, at times, passion for work. Now, that isn't a bad thing. It can be a very good thing for some of you. I know many people who made lots of money by opening conventional studios and franchises, but I also know those who were naive enough to believe that it was a ticket to success and a vehicle to pour your passion into your work. And if that's what you think, then you're in for some surprises. Okay, so I wanted to mention all of that before I introduce Bob, and I'm going to introduce Bob for one reason, because I believe there is extreme value in the perfect storm. And when I say I believe, created it. I know it firsthand. I also know firsthand everything Bob will tell you is legitimate, and I know the perfect storm was designed with you in mind, you being the trainer who wants to inject his passion or her passion into your work, and the trainer who wants to consider getting out from under the stigma of the health club paradigm, you know, where you're stuck in this, where you're going, I know we shouldn't do free sessions, but the health club says we have to do free sessions. Opening your own place, for some of you, will be the most liberating thing you ever do. And then there are others who have no business opening a place. But realize this, if you do, it can change your affiliation and put you in control. It can change your message and put you in control. And most of all, it can change your profit potential in a very short period of time. So, Bob, you here?
I'm here.
Okay. I'm going to ask you, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I always do. I'm going to ask you to start out by sharing how frustrated you've been by the way trainers react to what you have for them, or I'll say by the way that they've been omitted from being exposed to the business end of the fitness field.
All right, that's a fair question. First, before I answer that, I want to tell everybody here that I've always been glad, and I'm still glad I'm affiliated with you, Phil, and what you believe in, what you teach to personal trainers for success. Having said that, you also know that you and I work to create this piece of equipment based on your simple and effective approaches of what you've done. But, you know, the interesting thing, what you brought up this question here, is that as I've been going through this and talking to trainers who give us a call who have an interest in the perfect storm as a sort of a find out, a little flyer about it or some word of mouth about it, one thing seems to really run kind of rampant, and it may be a surprise, it may not, especially to you, Phil, but it's fear. Fear of a lot of things, it seems to be. Worst of all, fear that they feel as though they're broke. You know, I'm not a marketing guy or a trainer, I'm just a manufacturer, but I'm the one that talks to a lot of people on the front line. And I got to tell you, it's a really frustrating thing when I know that we have this product and this path that you use to make this a success. And when I talk to them, it seems like they have a real fear. I guess it's of the unknown. Definitely a lack of confidence, I think it is. I think that's more what it would be, a lack of self-confidence in themselves. And that's what's been extremely, extremely frustrating to me on my end.
I mentioned a few minutes ago that I developed a program that generates $9,600 per month, and it did exactly that in my 800-square-foot studio, which you've been to, and Kelly, you've been to. And Bob, that's the program that I mentioned to you at Ray's Pizza in New York, and I don't even know when that was, but, you know, for me, it was kind of like, in my memory, it was a monumental moment. Because we were at some conference in New York, and I just finished speaking, and I was starving, and Bob and I were supposed to meet, and I said, let's just get out of this hotel, and we went and had some good New York pizza, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I started telling you about this program, and Bob took out a napkin, and started scribbling. And at first, I thought he's completely ignoring me. I'm like, Bob, what are you doing? He's like, shh. It was kind of like the genius at work sign lit up, you know? So I let him scribble. And then he turns the napkin around, and he goes, here it is. I said, what's that? He goes, this is it. This is what we're going to create. This is the piece that you can do your program on. And that's where it started. And it got me excited. It got him excited. We had a lot of back and forth. Then Bob creates these incredible 3D things on the computer, and this thing started coming to life. And we ran through a lot of scenarios back and forth. And I wouldn't say that it happened perfectly like anything else. You know, chaos gets injected, right? I mean, it's easy to make it, and then you go, well, how are we going to ship it? And, man, this thing is heavy, and it's big, and, man, we got to pay for the materials, right? So a lot of questions came up along the way. The perfect storm is odd-looking. Is that fair to say, Bob?
I would venture to say it's odd-looking because there really definitely is nothing that looks like it.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
You look at it and go, what does that do? And the answer is it makes money for a personal trainer that knows how to use it. That's really what it does. But all it is a foundation that you can use to a whole lot of exercises, but it literally becomes your studio. The fact that it's odd-looking, that's something I wanted. I wanted people to go, what's that? Because remember, we want interest. Right? We don't want them to go, oh, treadmill, seen that before. I could go get that anywhere. I want them to go, what is that? And I'm going to go, wait till you find out. Wait till you find out what it's going to do for you. It attaches to bands, and it serves as the platform for literally limitless exercises involving all the things you guys do, pushing, pulling, hanging, rotating, creating exercise that restores balance and function and muscle integration. It is designed as a tool for teaching people to exercise differently, and it also serves as a platform for one-on-one or group workouts. When trainers open studios and regret it, they often express that they're buried by tasks that they hate. They hate the financial pressures, especially when they're dealing with payroll and payroll taxes. I don't know why that's so burdensome for them, but it is. And I guess because it's not their nature, and nobody ever taught them how simple it could be. So when they did this to really connect with people at a physical level, they're sitting there writing numbers and trying to calculate, and they just hate it. And they may be too stubborn or too naive to connect with a strong accountant before they get rolling. So if they don't get with a strong account before they get rolling, the sense of financial chaos is inevitable. It's guaranteed. They have trouble delegating. They don't think anyone else could do things as well as they can. So they wind up taking on too many sessions. They lock themselves into servicing. And then they remove their ability to plan and market and grow. If you are prone to making those mistakes, I'm going to tell you right now, don't open a studio. But if you recognize those mistakes as unnecessary, if this is starting to make sense to you now and you're going, well, with the right planning and guidance, I don't have to run into those mistakes, then I would say consider this an opportune time to open a studio. Now, Bob, are you hearing the word economy a lot?
Yes, a lot.
And not in a good way, right?
Not in a good way.
I think there is this huge reaction, and I'm going to tell you this. The economy will affect certain industries no matter what they do. Anybody who leases or anybody who sells large ticket items and has to finance, they're going to suffer. Anybody who's connected with mortgages and real estate, there's not a whole lot they could do other than wait this out. Anybody who manufactures a product that is sold by retailers is going to suffer a bit. And any retailer is going to suffer a bit. They're going to. There are things maybe they could do, but still they got to ride it out. But I think the rest of us don't have to listen. We don't have to go, oh, no. We just have to kind of market, do what we do, send out the right message to the right people. And I promise you, the economy doesn't have to have a negative impact on you. And here's one thing I'm going to tell you. It's just really a spin, but a very valid one. Right now, because everybody's worried about the economy, commercial real estate owners have lots of vacancies. And some of the tenants of those commercial real estate owners are negotiating to stay in business. They're going, oh, look, I can't give you the full rent. Can I just give you half? And the owner's going, yeah, sure, give me half because I don't want to lose another tenant. That's bad for the commercial real estate owners, but it may be good for you. Some of those financially stressed tenants might be willing to sublet a small space. So if you commit to 5 people a day and the growth that I've alluded to through the chaos phase, you don't need visibility from the street. You don't. I don't even think you want visibility from the street. I know there are many people who will argue that with me. I'm saying I have never, ever had visibility from the street. by Profit Monster? There's no way you could find it by accident. Somebody had to give you directions to get there. It happened to be on a great street name, Fortune Way. That was a good word for it, Fortune Way. I didn't know it was going to become Hurricane Way. But why pay for that visibility if you're out there talking to five people a day? No, people aren't just flocking in off the street. They're going to meet you and connect with you, and then they're going to come to wherever you are. So I want you to recognize the opportunity right now, if you would like to, and you've ever thought about it, and you're going, I'm just waiting for the right time, there may be no better time. I see this as a time for trainers who are ready to take on chaos and make their way through the organization to start their own studios with some real leverage. And again, I don't want anybody here to think I'm pushing you toward this. I'm just saying I spoke to enough of you and people like you who you had this dream and this wish and you never act, and now may be the ideal time to act. So if you have considered this, if you were drawn by the appeal of not having a boss or being completely in charge of your own rates or having full control over the way clients are treated and handled, this may be an ideal time. And I think another important but less obvious benefit of owning your own small profit monster studio is there will not be any negativity in your place unless you let it in. You are responsible. If you've ever considered it, I'm not asking you to commit or make an immediate decision, but Bob, I want to make sure they can connect with you.
Well, you know, I'm really glad you brought a couple of points. I'd like to share this with the group listening. There's a hands-on real-world stuff. There's a gentleman named Jared. Neat guy, met him about a year and a half ago, maybe a little over a year ago. He bought a perfect storm. He was opening up his first place. He was working in a club. And it was interesting when you brought up that space that's available. He actually had the great sense to lease it. I think he bartered it out. A little 600-square-foot office room, it was an office, on like the 7th floor of a big high-rise office business building in downtown Philadelphia. I was actually stopped by his place because it was so amazing. He had that, a set of power blocks, and he opened up, hung a shingle, and he did exactly what you said, Phil. He followed your plan to the T. Last I have heard, he had just ordered another trainer because he can't service the people enough himself. He's so booked up. And his wife, I believe, and he are planning on selling their studio in Philly, using the profits, which look they're going to be quite sizable, and move to Florida, somewhere near you, baby, and open up a new one. This is a guy who hardly could pay his bills. He was telling me his story, and I was sitting there, and he's going, "Bah, man, this is just, it's like shooting fish in a barrel." And I think his overhead was like next to nothing because he really was able to swing a really sweet deal. And to find him, I had to have, you know, three sets of directions and where the heck are you and Philly and up and down. And it was amazing. There's another one, a lady named Shannon, who's got so much business that she's expanding out in Oregon again. And another guy named Terry in San Francisco. And it's just over and on. And it's interesting that the tool is there, but because the tool seems to be a way to, like, work the magic that you bring with it. Of course, we bundled all that with it, all the way up. But it's been really exciting to have a chance to realize that those who affiliated themselves with you, of course, me with this unit, are really making successes, even in today. This is today world, real-time, current stuff. So I'm excited to be on this call with you and be able to share this with the people who are here.
Yeah, but by the way, I mean, the people you mentioned, all of them are in my Be Better program. So I know them, and I'm smiling as you say that because I remember every one. They all had the same trepidation, the same fear, you know, but they were willing to challenge it. Much of what we've spoken about in these 8 days is a lot of that overcoming fear, getting rid of the words can and but, and, you know, they make it work. It's anything that you guys decide that you want to do is doable. Honestly, anything that you decide you want to do. Now, you can go, well, that's not true. I can't decide that I can fly to Mars tomorrow. Yeah, but you wouldn't decide that, right? You would not decide that. You might say it, but you wouldn't decide that. It wouldn't feel right in the moment like it's really going to happen. Anything that you can really internalize, you can do. And if you cannot internalize it, then you're stuck with what Bob was talking about. It's that lack of confidence that the words can't and but, they prevent you from ever getting that confidence. So I just wanted to lay this in front of people so they have this opportunity and realize it is an opportune time. And unlike having to invest the $45,000 I was told I'd have to invest 20 years ago, you want to talk about the money, Bob? Because I know you're...
Sure.
Go ahead.
Money's pretty simple. It always comes up. I'll get it out there now. This is an interesting time. We've had a great opportunity to really get a nice group of these purchases and get the price even more for them already is. The product's $5,999, but since you and I work together...
Wait, let's be honest, that's $6,000. right?
Yeah, I understand.
It's only $5,900. It's $6,000. Go ahead.
But like you said, it's not $45,000. But let's start there. It is that. But because we believe in this, and we've been able to really generate some nice volume on the purses and air end, that we are going to run a special deal for the people here. That if they call and book this before April 30th, you can put a small $500 deposit down. The actual price is going to be $3,499. We wanted something that they. That's $2,000.
Wait. Which is really $3,500.
Well, I know that, but, a dollar means a lot to a lot of people. But we wanted something that they could actually put on a credit card. We even have financing if they want to go through a group for it's $99 a month. I mean, if you look at what it costs, in reality, trainers that are working in a place and sharing their revenues with a facility or a club, they're probably giving away 10 times that, a month easily, or a week even. So you said it was pennies. It really is a minuscule cost for an entrepreneur and a business person. I mean, it's almost ridiculous. But we like selling lots of these things, and we want people to be successful. And this is something. And of course, it comes with your 21-day program. It's got a complete manual. We throw in a $500 fit sled, free 16-piece band. It's a turnkey thing. I mean, everything you need is right there. And we wanted to make it so it brings that dream of the Ray's Pizza alive. For hundreds and hundreds of trainers that want to become successful, even in today's time. We wanted to make it where they can say, I can do that. And that's what Terry did, that's what Jerry did, and that's what we're doing now. So I'm really excited about it. Thank you.
All right, now, Bob, here's what I don't want. I feel like we've gone a little over. I'm glad we did, because it's purely sincere for me. But I don't want anybody here to ever feel pressured. I don't ever want them to ever feel the sales pitch. I want them to talk to you. Okay, I don't want them to get, and I know you got good salespeople. I want them to talk to you if they're going to do this and just, say, I'm in Phil's group. So how can we make that happen? And by the way, before you answer that, they can also go online and get a look at the Perfect Storm, right? Because we have the pictures
sure.
that we took from. Yeah.
Right. That's right. VortexFitness.com. You can see there's a little place on the front page, actually, where you can click on it, whole section, clips and everything else. You can imagine testimonials for people around them a little bit. That's the easiest way. But the best way to reach me. I make it real simple. I'm Bob at VortexFitness.com.
And how do you spell Bob? How do you spell Bob?
I know it's hard for you, Phil, because it's just a page, but it is B-O-B
okay.
at Vortex, V-O-R-T-X, VortexFitness.com. And just email me with two words. I'm in. That's it. I'm in. Email me that and with maybe a phone number or a time to reach you, something like that, and I'll get back to you and we'll talk. I really would love to talk to everybody who's out there, share the experiences with you and answer any questions that you might have. So Bob at VortexFitness.com, I'm in, and we're ready to roll.
Great. And Bob, I want to tell everyone on this call, this is a real offer. This is not a pitch. $99 per month, I heard you say. That's crazy talk.
they have to qualify for a fine. That is available.
It really
is ridiculous. I know.
I would have figured things out a whole lot sooner if I could have been operating on my own and somebody would have brought me this opportunity to get equipment for less than $5,000 or $100 a month. I mean, I wish for that now. It's a little too late. I got it already, but back then, man. So anyway, email Bob with the words I'm in if you want to consider the Perfect Storm. And I think Stacy's on the call. Stacy, no need to respond, but I'm going to ask you to send a group email out giving Bob's email address and also the Vortex website. Okay? So, Bob, thanks. If you want to hang, you can hit *6. You and I will talk soon. All right?
Got it. Thanks.
Real quick.
Thank you.
Kelly, I know for me, I'm very visual. You cannot even picture what this thing looks like. I've seen it. I've been on it. You at least have to go to the website and look at it because you really can't even understand what it is until you see it. So just humor us and go to the website and just look at it so you can really understand what this thing is and the potential that's there. Because I know it may be hard for you to even understand completely what they're talking about. So just look at it. Check it out.
Thank you. In fact, it does 12 people at one time. That's kind of interesting, too. So that's something you might want to say. But thank you very
awesome.
Much.
And a lot of people have been asking about group training, and it's what it's designed for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Whether or not you're considering a studio, or whether or not you already own your own place, you are here in this program because you're moving towards something, toward a change, towards something that ultimately you're going to be responsible for creating. Over the past few days, I've asked you in several different ways to glimpse at the change, to glimpse at the future, to get a sense of what's waiting for you. And now I want you to get a little clearer. I told you to have a pen. I want you to begin to crystallize things a little more. And You know how in movies with, like, witches or psychics or channelers or magicians, even in The Wizard of Oz, when one of these characters looks in the crystal ball, right, they go, look in the crystal ball, and it gets blurry, and then it gets smoky, and then as you sit watching in suspense, the image in the crystal ball begins to get clear. And that's a really good metaphor for what you're going to want to do with your intended outcome. Right now, it's probably kind of blurry. You know, it's not crystallized, but you got a little sense of what's out there. And the clearer it becomes, the more likely it is to become real. I try to stay away from the word goal. I like to use the word outcome. And I'll tell you why I'm not in love with the word goal. Number one, I myself have gone to more goal-setting workshops in my life. I wish I could have back all those hours. I do. I learned maybe four things in going to probably 25 goal-setting workshops, each one an average of 8 hours. I'm not kidding. And I don't say they were bad. I just, they weren't what I was looking for. They weren't able to liberate me. As a matter of fact, even the term time management, I hate it. You got to understand, I manage businesses, I manage clubs, I manage employees. The last thing I want to do is manage time. I don't want to manage anything else. So I don't like goal and I don't like time management, just in terms of what they sum it up for me. So I'll use the word outcome. With goal, you know, the word goal is okay to miss. Tonight, in Kelly's neighborhood, the Dallas Mavericks play the San Antonio Spurs, and I'm sure Kelly's very excited about that. Both teams will come to the game with the goal of winning. One will not meet the goal. So, a goal is something that can be missed. I've been at business meetings as a consultant where a team fails to hit a goal. And, you know, at the end of the month, they go, oh, man, and there's some regret, and then there's some reprimand, and then there's just a new goal. So I don't want you to feel the tentative sense associated with goal setting. I don't want you to consider the possibility of a miss. I want you to create an outcome, not a goal, an outcome. This shouldn't be something you feel pressured by, but rather something you look into the crystal ball, and it's clear. It's not smoky, it's not blurry, but it's crystal clear because you know that's where you're headed. So today's directive will move you toward crystallizing the outcome, or we can call it the dream. And don't think of a dream as something off in the distance. A dream for you should be an outcome that hasn't occurred yet. So if you accept that as a reality, the following should cement an outcome soon to become real. Here's a very simple question I want you to answer by writing it down. What does it look like? Last time I asked you to close your eyes and vision, I'm not asking you to do that now. I just want you to write down what it looks like, what the outcome looks like, what the dream looks like. If you're sitting there and your pen's not moving, you're putting too much pressure on yourself. Just answer the question. I know some of you own studios, and if that's the case, I'm not asking what the studio looks like. I'm asking what the dream looks like. Maybe you see someone buying the gym, the studio, for a sum of money that thrills you. So maybe that's what you see, money changing hands. Or maybe you see professional athletes in your facility thanking you for the work you do. Maybe that's part of the dream. Or maybe you don't even see the studio. Maybe you see yourself driving a new Mercedes. Or maybe you see your family at the airport waiting to go to the Greek islands. Right now, what you create, what you write down, should be an intimate vision, one that is unique to you. And I'm not asking you to develop complete imagery, but you want to see an image in that crystal ball that you can nod your head at and feel good about. Remember, last week I had you link an emotion to a word. The word was better. Say that word out loud. You're muted. Say that word and write a sentence or two describing what the outcome looks like. I'll give you another 15 seconds. What does it look like? I know having done this in workshops, people want to ask specific questions. Should I write it as a stop? No questions. Just what does it look like? Just answer the question. If you feel compelled to ask another question, that's a voice you need to just push out of your head. Just tell me, what does the outcome look like? Okay, next question. What can you promise your customers, even if you couldn't do it 10 minutes ago, even if you couldn't do it 1 minute ago? I want to know, what can you promise your customers? What can you promise your customers? If you can't make a promise, then you don't have a strong enough offer. If you can't make a promise, there's something wrong. What can you promise your customers? Be honest. If you're concerned about making too bold a promise, then start with something simple. Like, I promise every customer will get my full attention. Maybe you can make that promise. And it doesn't have to be a promise that you'll print or that you'll publish, but just something that connects you with the balance between what you're doing for others and what comes back to you. What can you promise? Maybe you're ready to come up with a really bold promise. I promise if you're not thrilled with your outcome after 8 weeks, I will pay for your consultation with another trainer. That would be a really good promise. I'm not asking you to make it. I'm just asking you to determine what is your promise. I promise if you're not thrilled with your outcome after 8 weeks of working with me, I will pay for your consultation with another trainer. I like that. Now, don't agonize over this. Right now, if you're going to have something come to you in the way of reward, and you want it to be a certainty, not a maybe, right? If you're saying, I want this, I want my vacation house, I want to be able to take my wife away from her job, and I want to be able to go to North Carolina. If you want something in the way of reward, and you want it to be a certainty, not a maybe, then you have to put yourself on the line. So start with a promise. If you cannot make a promise to your customers, I cannot promise you that outcome. What can you promise your customers? Third question. This one ensures permanent change. It's asking you to commit to something that will serve you. Here's the question. What, right now, in line with career growth, can you promise yourself with an always or a never? What, right now, in line with your career growth, can you promise yourself with an always or a never? I'll never again. Or, from this point forward, I will always. I'll never again from this point forward, I will always and don't look to me to give you suggestions for the commitment. If you're really committed to change, you'll be able to find at least one. And with time, probably a whole bunch of committal statements that serve you. Committal statements that identify a mistake you'll never make again. Or an action that you know you must always initiate to ensure movement toward the dream. We're almost finished, and I'll tell you right now, I'll only have one directive for you tomorrow. I'll even give you a heads up. The directive tomorrow will be to focus on getting only one new client. Okay, so that'll be a simple one. I want you to give your all to the directives today, knowing there's only going to be one tomorrow, and tomorrow's day eight. By the way, that one directive tomorrow can increase your income by $60,000 this year, but that's for tomorrow. Right now, I want you to commit to two more actions. And these, by the way, are in addition to moving forward on the focus group. Now, here's what I would really love. I'm not counting on it, but it's something I would really love. I would really love if after I ask you to write something down related to these two actions, one or two of you will be bold enough to unmute and just openly share what you've committed to, whether it's a sentence or a paragraph. Okay, it's just something I would love. Would you like that, Kel? I know Kelly would like that too.
Sorry, I was muting. I was listening but muting because I've got some noise in the background.
Here we go. Two actions I'm going to ask you to commit to, and these, again, are in addition to following through on the focus group. Number one, choose one action that will move you toward an element of the dream. You've identified some things about the dream. I'm just asking you to now know what that dream is, or know what a part of the dream is, or know something about the dream, and just choose any action that you can commit to that you know will move you a little bit closer. It's up to you what the action is. You may not be crystal clear, I know, but you can now see, hear, or taste at least some elements of the outcome that will thrill you. So right now, write down one action you can take that'll move you closer. It could be a phone call you could make. It could be an appointment that you can set. It can be a location that you can visit or a person you have to confront. It can be acquiring an item or doing something that you've been putting off. Or it can be an idea that popped into your head that has to be acted upon. Just write down one action and make it a commitment. Do it right now. I mean, do it right now. I mean, write it right now. I hope most of you have done it already. If you haven't, I'll give you another 10 seconds. Write down one action. Finally, choose one action that will push anything you've done already one step further. Okay, I just asked you to choose an action that will move you closer to whatever you dictated as the outcome. Now I'm saying you've done some things already. I want you to choose one action that will push anything that you've already done, ideally something you've done in these last 8 days or last 7 days, one step further. In other words, in the past 6 or 7 days, you've changed your thinking and taken some new steps toward achievement. Some of those steps have moved you forward. So right now, select just one more action, this is the last one I'm talking about, that will move any of those elements a bit further. If you smile to 10 people a day and said hello to 5, increase it. Go out and talk to one more person today. If you've asked a client to train more frequently and it went smoothly and you've overcome a fear, ask another client to train more frequently. Just take one thing one step further, but I want you to commit to it. Remember what I told you about the actions stacking upon each other. You want momentum to build. So don't stop when something brings a result. Recognize that something brought a result, and now you can bring more of that result and get some real momentum. Bring an avalanche of results. Before we hang up, get clear on what those actions will be. Let's take 1 minute, and I want you to just kind of look at what you've written today. Okay? Or if you still haven't come up with those last two actions, just do it now in this next minute. And then as soon as you feel ready, I'm going to ask you to unmute, just hit *6. I'd like someone to be bold enough to just make a public commitment. And be better, I talk about the power of the public commitment. I actually tell the story of how Joe Namath guaranteed a Super Bowl win in 1969. But there's something to be said about making the commitment public. I've asked you to commit. I've asked you to promise. And you've done those things on paper. It strengthens when you say it out loud and people hear. So I'm just asking anybody to just unmute, say your name, and tell us just one thing you've committed to.
This might be making your brain hurt a little bit. You might be feel like you're straining, but it's exciting. When you get that down and you see what that goal was and you know that if you just do that one thing, it's going to move you so much closer to the outcome you want, it's completely liberating because we don't take the time to stop and do these things. We just go and we react most of the day. And just taking a little bit of time to answer these questions is going to propel you forward. So let your brain hurt for a second, but then get excited. And there's
hello.
Hey.
So, somebody just sang hello. Who was that?
This is Mars from Brooklyn.
Hey, Mars.
How you doing today?
Doing fantastic. What do you got for us? You got a commitment that you're going to make now, heard by the entire group.
Yes, and it's going to actually go a little bit further than even what you said. You know how you talked about going out and talking to 5 different people? What I'm going to do in the area in which I live, it's out in the country, and there's small businesses in the area. I'm going to go to the individual small businesses, and I'm going to go talk with them about being able to do a quick workout with me at my home with my Bowflex. I have a gym that's downstairs at our home, and I work out people here. And I was thinking that that would be something that might work really well for people, like on their time off or their breaks or time for lunch.
I love that. Beautiful. And let me ask you this. Right now, in this very moment, how does that make you feel? Just the knowledge that you just made that commitment. Can you find a word or a sentence to say how it makes you feel?
it makes me feel on the spot.
Okay.
But, you know, it's something that I've been thinking about, and, you know, it's one thing because we have malls out here, and it's one thing to go and talk to people, you know, who are walking in the mall and those kinds of things. Lots of times you'll find that their mind is on other things, or as you said, a lot of times when you smile at somebody, you try to talk to them, they think you're kind of weird. And if you're an outgoing person like I am, and I talk to everybody who moves, sometimes I've seen that kind of reaction. But I was thinking about the different businesses here in the area and how it's still early in the year, and I'm sure a lot of resolutions were made for this year, and I'm thinking about how many of them I'm sure are still unfulfilled. And as we all understand, time is so critical. So I was thinking, well, if I can make a workout that could last 20 minutes, they could come in, they could, you know, pop off a really good one for a real good price, and I live right here in the area where probably I'm guessing I got about 20 or 25 small places I can go to.
Fantastic. Great, Mars. Thank you for sharing that.
Yes, sir.
Let's get one more. Can we get one more? Oh, I hope we don't get that silence thing again.
Hello?
Hi.
Hey, Phil.
Yeah?
Hey, this is Christo from Chicago.
Christo?
Yes. You know, it was kind of intimidating for me to get on the line, and actually, my promise was that I wanted to make to myself is, as you said, I didn't want to talk to five more people. I just want to talk to one more person every single day.
Okay.
And actually, the biggest thing that I'm on the line right now is because I wanted to overcome the fear of myself being on the spot right now of everybody.
Beautiful.
And that's the main thing, because I know when people are fearing things and they're kind of avoiding it, the fear becomes bigger, as we already know. But I just wanted to do it, and I know I'm going to feel much better because I just got on the line, and I just, you know, said hi and said what I'm going to be doing from tomorrow on.
Beautiful. I appreciate that, and I want to tell you something. Sometimes people, you know, business partners or friends, you know, they come spend a couple of days with me, and they're always taken by how many conversations I get into spontaneously. And it doesn't even have to be, like, it's not necessarily at a mall. It's just anywhere. And they go, how do you do it? And I go, do what? And I mean it when I say do what. And they go, just talk to everybody. It has become so automatic for me that people think that it is innate. They go, well, you can just do that. Man, I got to tell you, Christo, I remember being you. I do. I remember being paralyzed. I remember, like, looking at people and knowing I could, but I couldn't get the words out of my mouth. I actually remember the first time that I decided, I said, there are two women, they're walking really slow, holding weights, right? They're walking for exercise, and they're chatting. And I'm driving by in my car, leaving a client's house, and I said to myself, Phil, here's your chance. If you could just break it, just do this. Just like you said, I got to get on the call. I said, if I could just go out and talk to these women, then I'll realize that it's okay. And I pull my car over, and I get out of my car, and they look, and they start to walk a little faster, and I start to, you know, go after them, and they literally they run into the house. They just ran into the house and closed the door. They're like, there's a crazy guy chasing us. So that was my first experience, so imagine how I felt after that. But here's what I want everyone here to learn, that when you try something for the first time or the second time or the third time, and if it comes back and bites you, then you learned that you have the power to initiate it, but you somehow have to get better. And if you keep approaching things that way, eventually it becomes innate and intuitive and automatic. So I think that coming on this call was a breakthrough for you, and I don't take that lightly. I really appreciate that. So thank you.
No, I'm not taking it lightly. I know it's a huge thing, and as much as all of us are having those fears of you know, trying to overcome the fears, I know that just doing one of those, if you fear one thing a day, you just do it and do it. On the other side of it, it's not that bad. When you look back, it's just there was nothing for you to be afraid of, you know. And if you do once, twice, three times, it just becomes something, as you said, automatic. And you don't get this fear anymore. As they say, when you keep doing the things that you fear, the fear dies, right? And that's how it is. So that's why I got on the line right now.
Thank you. Christo the Fear Killer. I appreciate it. Thank you.
That's right. How do I get off the line right now?
You can never. Now that you're on, you must stay forever and keep talking.
Right.
No, it is *6. *6.
Okay.
Thank
okay. You.
Okay. Do we have one more? One more, and then
Jesse
Cal.
And Boise.
Who's this?
Jesse in Boise.
One more time. I hear somebody. I didn't understand it.
Jesse Judd in Boise, Idaho.
Hey,
is
Jesse.
It Jeff?
Jesse.
Okay, Jesse.
Jesse. Hey, Kelly.
How's it going?
Hey, Jesse.
Yeah, no, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. All right. Basically, I was just going to answer the last two questions you'd given. The action that I'm going to do to move me toward that dream, I run a boot camp here, an adventure boot camp, and basically the one thing that didn't occur to me the other day was ask all my 3-day campers to do 5 days. So there's that one. And the second question, as far as one thing that will move me one step further, and I don't know if this is the answer particularly you were looking for or along the same line that you were thinking, but the perfect storm, I already sent Bob the email. I am in. My palms were starting to sweat as you were telling me about it. My heart's pounding. I'm so excited about it.
Beautiful. Good.
Yeah.
Isn't, you know, the idea of asking your 3-day a week to do 5 days a week and you just have that revelation or that insight, isn't that one of those things, and please don't take this wrong, where you go, duh, like why didn't I think of doing that? But here's the great thing about thinking this way. There are thousands of those things in your head that you've missed, you know, and that's what they start to kind of unfold in front of you. And you go, hey, what about that? Whoa, look at this opportunity. So this is the beginning of that unfolding. So I really appreciate that as well. You've got these people who are committed to you. They love you. They keep coming back. Why wouldn't you ask them to come more? No reason in the world other than you didn't think of it. So I love that insight came to you.
Exactly.
Thank you for sharing that. Are your palms still sweaty?
You know, I think until I've got the perfect storm up and running, they probably will be. But I think it's a good thing. I like the perfect or the sweaty palm syndrome, I guess we'll call it.
All right, beautiful. Jesse in Boise, Idaho, right?
That's it.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that. Kel, I think we're getting guys. What's going on? Didn't you tell me something the other day about women, that they're somehow more willing or smarter, I think you said?
They're still writing. They've got so many.
No, ideas. I don't. I see, it took a while for the guys to come out, but I told you. You think we should let one woman come through?
Right now, I think one's coming.
One who hasn't participated before, you think? One who's going to overcome the fear of the *6?
Yes.
All right, I'm ready. Who is she?
Come on, ladies, let's hear it. Think about those outcomes. It's going to be liberating. It's easy to sit there and point fingers or make comments or say it's not for me, but this is going to set you free.
All right, this one's a clear victory for the men.
And I've participated before.
A victory for the men, you say?
Wait, here they come, here they come. Wait, I'm sorry, what's going on?
I've participated before, so I'm challenging another woman to speak up. It's not that hard.
Okay, good. I just read yesterday that women speak on average about 50,000 words a day and men about 20,000 words a day. So be careful. You might regret asking women to speak. You might not be able to set them up.
Anybody? Last chance. Unless they all use their words. Maybe they've all hit the 50,000 mark by now. Is there anybody who's only like 49,000?
How about Jane from Albany, New York?
We'll take it.
Hello, I've already been on before, but I'll come on again to defend the women.
Okay, good going. Tell us about your commitments, Jane, from the capital city of New York State.
Well, what right now can I promise myself with an always? Today is the day that I asked for that raise from my boss and got it.
Congratulations.
So I am always going to demand what I'm worth.
Beautiful. I thought you were going to always ask your boss for a raise every day because that would have its limits. But that's fantastic. How did that feel? Honestly, how did that feel when you walked out, when you actually left the building and you knew that you had asked and gotten a yes? What happened?
It makes me kick myself in the ass for not asking sooner. because, you know, no ask, no get. And it's easy for me to tell other people that. but it's always been difficult for me to do it myself. And I almost procrastinated another day. And I said, no, you know, I made this commitment to change, and there's a lot more change coming, and it's all going to be great. It's better every day. And so, you know, my heart is pumping. It's great.
I'm glad you did it before the end of the 8 days. We might have to have a contest now and see in the next days how many more people can follow through, you know, waking up every morning and giving themselves a raise, whether they're self-employed or work for somebody.
I want to tell you something else. Didn't it give you almost an unusual sense of power?
I can't say that it gave me an unusual sense of power. It gave me a sense that fear has too much power for me.
Okay. I want you to think about...
And so that sense of conquering that fear, whether it's justified or not, those fears, to know that the outcome isn't going to move me in the wrong direction.
Well, Jane, you are the epitome of a personal trainer who is worth so much more than you're getting. And here, this is so common. I speak a great deal about power. And I know at first many trainers are put off by that word because they think of it as like Napoleonic, you know. They don't want to conquer. They don't want power. They just want to help people. But when we really think about power, isn't it nice to know that we have the power to change other people's lives? That's a power that we embrace. But we don't think of it as power. It is immense power. And isn't it nice to know that we have the power to attract clients? That's huge. When somebody goes, you know what? I used to be in a situation where I had to wait for clients to come to me, but now I realize I can attract clients. That's power. And when we break through those fears and we realize that we had worked for less than we were worth, now that doesn't mean you're getting what you're worth now, it just means you're getting more. So maybe you're on the way to something even better. But I want you to appreciate the power that comes with that. Had you not taken advantage of the power you have to ask for what you want, think of what it would have cost you. And I hope that for you and for anybody else who's taking these actions, you get comfortable with this idea of power, because I think a lot of us are limited only because we fail to recognize our power to influence and our power to change things. So as a result, we go along with the way things are. And once you start to make some changes, and if it hasn't happened yet, I hope all of you will start to feel a surge of power, not in a bad way, not like you want to rule the planet, but that the things that you want for today, you have the power to get them. And if it starts with just asking one person to do one thing for you and they do it, hopefully it starts to give you a sense that you've had this ability. You just didn't initiate it until now. So there's a power that's been untapped. Does that apply at all?
Yes, it does.
Okay, very good. So don't think power is not a bad word, like we want to be all powerful. I think there are a couple of things that trainers do habitually. Because we dislike what the salesperson represents, when we just think in terms of a salesperson, we shy away from the idea of selling. As a result, we don't use our power to influence. And because we think that word power is something that is reserved for these people who are megalomaniacs or want to rule the world, we go, no, we don't want to be powerful. We just want to serve and we want to help people. And I think we have the power to serve and be rewarded for it. So I want everybody here to embrace that. And Jane, thank you so much for defending the women and for sharing that. And most of all, congratulations for giving yourself a raise, because that's really what you did.
Thank you for the tools.
Okay. Kel, anything you want to say in wrapping it up today?
I love the idea of outcomes. Just keep that in mind more than the word goals. Just take a little bit of time every day, if it's the first thing you do or the last thing you do, or cut out some time in your day to ask yourself those directives that Phil gave you on an ongoing basis. I mean, those questions are the gems, the golden nuggets that you should be using on a daily basis. I mean, just like the light bulb just went off with Jesse going, hey, I can increase the frequency. These people already know and love me. You know, why didn't I think about doing this? So it's so important to take that time and just get out of that, you know, Groundhog Day where you do the same thing over and over, or get out of that chaos mode where you're reacting all the time. Right here, this was worth more than the price of the program. These two directives are priceless. So keep those, write them down, put them someplace where you remember to do these exercises often. They'll change your world.
All right, guys, I look forward to tomorrow when I will share with you an opportunity to just try to get one new client. and increase your income by $60,000 a year. Until then, I leave you with the two words I've left you with every day since we met. Be better.